Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's HandyLink. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Brian Hammer from the Pitt Meadows Paddling Club. So, tell me a little bit about Pitt Meadows.
The city and stuff like that?
The paddling club.
The paddling club. Well, we're a paddling club. We started 8 years ago. We anything to do with the kind of paddle sport we do. So we have a sprint division. So racing canoes and kayaks. We also have pleasure canoes and kayaks, stand up paddle boards, dragon voyageur canoes, and outrigger canoes. Anything that you can sit in. With a canoe or kayak paddle, we try and offer as a activity or as a sport with a competition and stuff like that.
So this would include accessible kayaking for people with disabilities.
Yes. When we started the club 8 years ago, it was when Canoe Kayak Canada also started their new. Para program. So it's called Para Canoe, which is the sprint, the racing, the competitive aspect, and then paddle all, which encompasses everything for people who just want to come out and have a good time out on the water.
So is there any modified equipment used for the para division?
Oh, yes. So we have our boots that are used by everyone, but then because we get people who have trouble sitting up and stuff like that or need assistance, we have many, three different types of seating arrangements that can help with people who have back injuries and stuff like that. Straps that wrap around them. We have little kind of things that go around right under their arms and stuff like that if they have a higher level back injury. Our sprint boats are specifically made to be para boats, and they come with special seats and stuff like that. For people with higher injuries and stuff like that.
So, in terms of the para division, are there any challenges in getting them ready to actually go out and paddle?
Yes. It's a challenge because everyone that has come to the club with an injury, no matter how similar it may seem, is so much different than the next person. So sometimes, like I have two athletes right now who I take their boats down into the water. Their boats need anything different than, say, an able-bodied person would use. I just put it on the water. They can get in and out of themselves. But in the past, I've had athletes where I carry it down. I have to put in their special seat so that they can strap themselves in, hold the boat while they get in, and even help them get in and out and stuff in some cases, just because the range of the injuries and the ability is just so great. For getting in and out of the water and stuff like that.
So, to look at the converse side of things, in your time working with such individuals, is there any success moment that stands out for you?
I would say, obviously success is that we have, because it also, the para program is new, and we were able to get on it right away, our athletes are actually doing really well nationally, so we just came back with a couple golds and a silver medal from our national championships, and in the past too, also fairly high podium performances. But I mean, just like helping people out and stuff like that is always great, and it's always excellent just to see people who come out and say they never thought they'd be able to paddle, but because we have the equipment for them and stuff like that, they're able to come out and enjoy the water just like anyone else would.
So are there any potential benefits to someone with a disability for getting out on the water?
Yes, it is a very, it's low impact. So, I mean, injuries are non-existent. Maybe you get a sliver here or there on the dock, the wood or something like that. But, low impact, injury wise, very, very good for upper body strength and stuff like that. We do for the training aspect, the competitive program, we go year round, lots of time in the gym too, even with our guys. So it's really, really, it's a sport. We take it seriously, and the people, our guys, do very, very well and stuff like that. It's low impact. It's not like, say, rugby or anything like that, or basketball, where you're slamming into people. That's what people have said when they've come on. They said, wow, this is a really good workout, and I don't have to worry about getting hurt.
So how are you spreading the word about the work of Pitt Meadows?
Well, we have, locally, we do a lot of school programs and stuff like that. The special needs programs come out. They always have such a great time, and they're so great to be with, and stuff like that. The pair guys, they come out too. We also have the older kind of disabled people come out with their community groups and stuff like that. And we also have a drop-in time. So should people decide to come out by themselves or with a friend or family member or something like that, they can come out during the evenings and ride our boats and stuff like that too.
So if you could send any one message about the need for inclusion of people with disabilities in paddling as a sport, what would you say?
I would say it's really, really easy if you have a small amount of modifiable equipment. So some of the seats that we have can be adjusted for width and height and stuff like that. And I mean, with those seats, you can include basically any under the sun and stuff like that, and just tiny, tiny modifications to boats that take, say, an hour to do tops, and then you can have people out in the water just having a great time, anyone.
So are there any projects on the horizon in regards to the special needs programs?
It's just more so growing the programs, and like I asked before, just trying to get the word out there so we have more people coming out, just because it's just so much fun, and all the people, all the school groups and all the community groups that come out just have so much fun. It would be great to see them come out more often than even during the drop-in times with other people and stuff like that.
Do you work in partnership with any other groups?
You mean like community groups or other paddling groups and stuff like that?
Any partnership?
No, we have no partnerships. I mean, Canoe Kayak Canada and stuff like that, like as our governing sporting organization and other clubs around, but not really.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you could stay online for a sec, that'd be great. What Pitt Meadows is doing in offering a para program for individuals with a disability to have the opportunity to get out there and paddle, to experience nature and to enjoy a water setting, it's really remarkable. But the fact is, an individual with a disability can achieve and accomplish anything if given the right tools. Same could be said of anyone in society. If you play to their skills, their strengths, and yes, even their interests, you'll find that people will surprise you. But having such simple modifications made to make it possible for a person with a disability to get out there, to paddle, to enjoy, that's what it's all about, folks. Providing an opportunity and recognizing the need for equality. It's a great exercise for a person with a disability. But when they're out there paddling, doing their thing, they're not thinking about perceived limitations or what might hold them back. No, they're just somebody out on the water, being free, free to enjoy, take in the scenery, get some exercise, and maybe even spend some time getting to know someone else out there with them. fosters a great sense of strength and a great sense of community. And believe me, that can make all the difference for a person with a disability. If they feel isolated or that they're dealing with their condition on their own, a person might hesitate before reaching out. And we as a society don't always know the correct thing to say or to do or to offer to reach in. But just with simple encouragement, an activity that's providing equal access, we can build a bridge. For the fact is, inclusion is not an afterthought. It should never be. We should include individuals with disabilities in all branches of life, in work, enjoyment, entertainment, athletic competition. These athletes train themselves, in some cases their whole lives, just to prove that they have the strength and the endurance to do what their able-bodied counterparts do. And they show remarkable determination. At least, that's how someone might tend to observe it. They might see it as, oh, this is amazing because a person with a disability did it. No. It's amazing because a person did it. And for the person with a disability, training themselves, preparing themselves to get out there and enjoy the journey, it's just what comes naturally. It's just doing what they want to do, achieving a goal, setting their mind to something and seeing it through. That's just day-to-day life in disability life. A person says, I want to do this or that. And they say to themselves, how can I do it? How can I make this happen? And after that, they set themselves the task of finding a way. Once they do, and they add something to the equation of their life, you might find that they ask themselves, why didn't I let myself experience this before? Why was I so close to the idea of embracing the opportunities that are out there? HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Hi, Constable Ryan Burney here, police coordinator with Windsor and Essex County Crime Stoppers. Windsor Police Service now have a new page on their website called Wanted in Windsor. There are pictures of people within our community. They have arrest warrants out for them. To view the photos, simply go to www.windsorpolice.on.ca. If you know the whereabouts of any of these individuals, you're asked to call Crime Stoppers at 258-8477. That's 258-TIPS. Do not approach these people. They are considered dangerous. If you have any information about this or any other crime, contact us. Remember, you remain anonymous, you don't have to go to court, and you can earn a cash reward.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. Earlier in our show, we heard from Brian Hammer from Pitt Meadows Paddling Club. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Kai Schramayer, an expert in wheelchair tennis. So tell me a little bit about your experience with wheelchair tennis.
So, I've been active myself. I used to play competitively for many years. I had bone cancer when I was 15, avid tennis player and before that, and then got into wheelchair tennis and played, had a great time, great experiences, and then got involved in coaching and now work for Tennis Canada. And basically what I do together with a colleague is we oversee everything around wheelchair tennis in Canada, from grassroots development all the way up to our national team and the high performance program.
So, can you tell me a little bit about the sport itself and how it's different or similar to the able-bodied equivalent?
Yeah, sure. So wheelchair tennis is practically similar to tennis. Virtually the only rule difference is that you're allowed two bounces in wheelchair tennis. Other than that, everything is the same. Same court size, same rules, same way of counting. So that makes it easily to be understood by the public. And what's a great feature, what distinguishes us from many other disabled sports, is that we can play with able-bodied players without them having to adapt. So I can go on a court in my wheelchair and hit against somebody who's an able-bodied player in all variations, singles, doubles, can mix it up, and that makes it fun and and easily to integrate into communities or tennis clubs.
So, is there any modified equipment that is used for the game?
The wheelchair, so it's a sports wheelchair, pretty similar to the basketball, the wheelchair basketball chairs that the larger public might know better, with the cambered wheels, the angled wheels. Other than that, they're lightweight, custom-built titanium or carbon fiber chairs. The rackets are the same, the balls are the same, that's about it.
So, in your time with wheelchair tennis, have there been any challenges that you've observed with the sport?
Well, the biggest challenge in Canada is the size of the country, obviously. We are in charge of developing the sport all over Canada, so that involves the travel, the distances, the climate. There are not as many accessible indoor facilities as we would wish, more and more, because the building codes are now more strict as when it comes to making the facilities accessible. Those are the two challenges. And then our biggest challenge is just finding participants as such. It's a great sport, but it's challenging at the beginning. It takes a bit of coordination. So it's not the most user-friendly sport at an introductory level. However, with the coaching methodology and programs that we have, we can make this user-friendly and open to anybody.
So, to look at the converse side of things, in your time with the organization, has there been any success moment that stood out for you?
Yes, just recently. We're just coming off probably one of our most successful years. Our men's double team just won the first medal for wheelchair tennis in any multi-sport games ever for Canada at the Para Pan Am Games in Toronto. So that was a huge success and boost for our sport, and media took interest of us, and so that's probably one of the highlights on the high performance end. To me, what's always fascinating on a daily basis is when I go into rehab centers and we introduce wheelchair tennis in a rehab gym, and you see somebody who's just had an accident or some other form of disability, and they hit the ball and their eyes just light up and they say, hey, I can play tennis, I can be active. That, to me, that makes my day, and it's just as important as the high performance end of things.
So, are there any projects on the horizon as far as wheelchair tennis for Tennis Canada?
Lots of projects. So, really imminently coming up are our Nationals, the Birmingham National Championships. So, the best players in Canada get together in Vancouver in October, in just a couple of weeks, October 22nd to 25th. At the UBC Tennis Center for the Nationals, should be good competition, and we're working hard on that. Rio, the Paralympics are coming up next year, so our national team is just traveling the world trying to rack up enough points in all these international tournaments to be able to qualify for the games. And then there's all kinds of projects around developments. We're just setting up a new junior team. We have some promising talent that we're trying to accelerate through coaching, through camps, through support, traveling to tournaments. Lots of good things happening right now for us.
So, if you could send any one message to the community about the importance of wheelchair tennis and for people with disabilities to remain active, what would you say?
Speaking from personal experience, it's really easy. I mean, sports just did so many things for me. It built up my morale, my confidence after I had my amputation, made me just get to know so many interesting, inspiring people, made me travel the world because I was able to do this at a high performance level. But even just at a recreational level, it's just so much fun, the connections you make and just the benefit of staying active and just hitting that tennis ball and improving and having a good time out with friends, family, on the tennis court.
Do you find the sport freeing for its players?
In what way?
In terms of a person with a disability being just out there, not thinking about what could happen or what could go wrong.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we see that just when we have players that are initially reluctant to try going out, going to the weekly practices, thinking, well, we can't do it, and how do I get out of the car, and how to get my wheelchair out. And they just gain so much confidence, and we just have so many success stories of people who have just had, through sports, had this experience of, I can do this, and then taking on the next challenge. And by these experiences of seeing, I can do the little things, just attacking bigger projects and just having a better quality of life.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Sure.
I think he hit it just right in saying that it's easy to remain active as a person with a disability. Once an athlete, always an athlete. If the sport, if the game means that much to you, no matter what injury, no matter what accident, no matter what disease or condition, you will find a way to keep it in your life, to keep it in your heart, to keep doing what you love to do. And there are great connections you form out there. Just working as a team, getting to know others, their strengths, their abilities. You might not even recognize it right at first, but you're learning something about your own strength as well. You're coming to recognize that these guys are out there. They're just doing what they love to do. And if they can find a way, who's to say that you as a person with a disability couldn't also? And that's what I love about disability sports. These athletes, with just very simple modifications, just little tiny things can be adjusted to get them out there, give them a chance to participate in these great activities. The fact that you have wheelchair tennis players playing with their able-bodied counterparts is just amazing. Just a simple little modification. One little rule providing that much of an opportunity. Leads me to wonder, what else is so simple that if we were to just look at it from the right standpoint, we could make things better? Makes me wonder, workplace accommodations. Could we just adjust the number of hours that a person works or rotate their tasks? Could that not also make all the difference? But, as we all know, stress and the perception of not being able to achieve can weigh heavily on any of us, whether we have a disability or not. Fact of the matter is, it's disability athletic organizations that really are saying, yeah, we can do this. Sure we can. Why not? And nothing is lost with these modifications. Nothing. The enjoyment of the game, the energy used, is equal to any able-bodied sport you would ever hope to find. Fact is, these athletes are really what exemplifies disability life, living with strength, community, and dignity, which is how person with a disability should live. They should be out there saying, hey, I'm a great athlete, not despite my disability, but because I've learned to work around it, because I've learned to use the strength that I have in another part of my life just to help guide me through those moments. And I'm not going to be out there analyzing, oh, I might misstep here, or my wheelchair might be cumbersome there. I'm just going to go out there, see what happens, and enjoy myself. That's how it should be. A short course on all that, folks, is just don't put up roadblocks that don't need to be there. If a person believes that there's a way, they'll find it. It's a question of motivation, determination, and just doing what you love to do. For an athlete with an acquired injury, this is especially important. They might think, because they lost the use of their legs, that some part of their life is over. But why does it have to be? Why do we see it as an ending? Why do we see it as a limitation? Why can't we see it simply as an adjusted way of doing things? I can't do the sport exactly the way I used to. But I can still do it. I can still swing at the tennis ball. I can still move a racket. I can still move around the court. If that's all it takes to be a great tennis player, a person in a wheelchair absolutely can and should participate in such. To my mind, there's no greater tragedy than when a person just allows it to be the end. They say, because things work a little differently now, this is the end of my life. My life is over. There's nothing more I can accomplish. It's the greatest tragedy of all, because it's based on one very faulty premise, the idea that they know everything, that they know every opportunity that exists for a person with a disability, that they know every modification that can be made, that they know every bit of medical science, what advances have been made or could be made in the next year or two. It presumes that they know that it's just the end for them. There is nothing else. And honestly, nobody has that level of knowledge. Nobody has the right to say to society, I move a little differently, so I'm not going to be a part of your world anymore. Giving up on yourself, that's not all it is. It's giving up on the world. People who love you, people who would be there to encourage you. Disability athletics are the anti-giving up. They foster community, strength, and personal achievement. And it's meaningful. It's not simply stacked in the favor of a person with a disability. The coaches, the referees, they have no idea who's going to win. Because the fact is, you get players with disabilities out there together. It's an equal footing. It's an equal opportunity. And honestly, it makes just for some great entertainment. Sit there, you watch the speed and the performance of these players, come to recognize very quickly that what they can do far exceeds what they think they can't do. Somebody told me once, disability life is all about thinking creatively. And those who designed a lightweight wheelchair that would allow a tennis player to move around with great speed was just thinking creatively. They were thinking, yeah, okay, fine. So we have a device that allows a person with mobility issues to get around. But are they getting around in the way that they want to? Are they doing what they love to do? If not, how can we improve on the existing design? It's these modifications advance us so far as a society. Seeing what technologies can be used to benefit people with disabilities, or what disability adaptations can be made for the able-bodied community. They really do play off each other. What's an advantage for one can benefit another. But it's not to say that an able-bodied person who uses a disability adaptation is doing so because they're lazy or they want an unfair advantage. Take, for example, someone who uses the wheelchair button because they have an armload of groceries. That's not an unjustifiable thing. They can use their arms under normal circumstances, that's true, but circumstances dictate what adaptations are necessary. And respecting each other's capabilities, and the adaptations that are there simply to level the playing field is how we foster understanding, recognizing that it's not about unfair advantage here or there, simply about inclusion and equal opportunity. And that is what we as a society must never stop pushing towards. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. You've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.